You're listening to the Farmyard Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? And our Patreon supporters.
Episode 11, Farming Intentionally, with host Linda Borge.
Linda Borge here from Farmyard. It's a movement, have you heard? So busy. My goodness, the summer. Right, I'm very excited. Going to be recording another podcast with Stuart Lundy this week about the summer and about biodynamics. And that's why I wanted to come on here and give you a little bit of insight into something that occurred to me today. You know, my grandmother used to say, if you learn something new every day, consider yourself lucky. Today, I actually learned something new. I try to learn something new every day, but this is in the area of biodynamics. Okay, so those of you that know me know that I grow biodynamically. Those of you that don't know me, biodynamics is the study of Dr. Rudolf Steiner, and it's a method of growing that incorporates cosmic forces. That's it in a nutshell, really. I would not say that I am an expert in biodynamics. You know, there are some great experts in this field that are so well read in Dr. Steiner's work that have jumped very deeply into that pond. And I hate to admit it, but that's not me. But what I have learned was that Dr. Steiner gave us recipes. He gave us insights. He gave us situations surrounding the circumstances that I was able to grasp. And one of those is all about intention. So that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about intention and intentionally farming. We all know that there's forces, right, that are unseen. Forces that we work with every day, every minute of every day, like gravity and air. You know, those are things that we don't see, right? But they're always there. And there's a lot of energy forces that are not visible as well. As an example, radio frequencies, right? You can't see them. You can't see or hear the songs go or the commercials going over the airwaves. But it's there because it's all in this energy zone. And what I'm 62 and what I have studied for a good 30 years now is how energy follows thought. And I'm going to tell you a story from way back when, pulling really out of the deep, dark archives of when I first discovered this principle. It was in the late 80s. And my husband and I and our two children lived in Bogota, New Jersey. And we lived in a house, a standard house on a standard size lot. The only thing that was different about this house was that it had no garage or driveway. So it was kind of above, like towering, and it was 67 stairs to the front door. And this was in the late 80s, right? Burned wood, heated the house with wood way back then. Well, my husband and I went for our 10-year wedding anniversary to a tiny little island off of the coast of Rhode Island called Block Island. And that island is 7 miles long and 3 miles wide at its widest point. And we went for our 10-year wedding anniversary. So we go, and my grandmother lived with us, so I never had to worry about a babysitter, right? So we went for 5 days. And as soon as I stepped off of that ferry, because the only way to get there is by a ferry or a plane, right? As soon as I got off that ferry, I knew that I had to live there. Now, some things you know, and some things you know. And I knew that I had to live there. In fact, I call my grandmother and I said, Grandma, I have to live here. And she, you know what her answer was? I'm not surprised. I thought she would say that. So anyway, come back from our vacation and I make this announcement to everyone that, we're going to move to Block Island. I'm going to be a farmer, and I had never farmed before. before. And my husband was going to be a builder, and he never built before. And we were going to move to this tiny island off the coast of Rhode Island and take on these two new professions. Everybody was saying, kind of like saying, all righty then. What are you smoking, Linda? What are you smoking? That's what you're going to do, huh? I said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And we just constantly told people that we were moving to Block Island. And then people kind of got a little bit, kind of like, all right, we've heard this enough, right? You're moving to Block Island. Then they started to ask when. And I said, we are going to close on our land on April the 1st. Now, folks, I want to tell you, the late 80s, the real estate market was at its height of inflated prices. There was inventory on the market like crazy. Houses were not selling. I sold houses. I knew that. I did not give our house to a broker. I painted a sign, house for sale by us, and I painted the same color as the house so it would look pretty. Not real good for marketing, but I did it that way anyway. And by happenstance or circumstance or miraculous intervention, I happened upon this book in Barnes & Noble. And this book was entitled Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain. And it's a paperback book, and I'm not much of a reader. I'll be honest with you there. But this book enthralled me so much so that when my husband and I laid in bed, I read the book out loud. And we read the first 17 pages, and we started to practice. And what did we do? We imagined, we created, we intended a young couple with a small child coming to purchase our home, and they were going to pay full price. Yep. And all this was going to happen so we could buy our piece of land and close on that land on April the 1st. Now, I just pulled those dates out of the air, but that's what you do when you are creating in the realm of energy. So what happened? What happened was a young couple with a small child purchased our home and they paid full price. And we closed on our land on April the 1st. And I forget the year, honestly, but it was a Saturday. So that was my first experience with energy follows thought. So I have been going brain dead in and out of remembering and practicing and not practicing, boop, bop, beep, bop, beep, in and out of it, right? Because that was way back in the 80s. So that was 80, let's say 1990. That was like 30 years ago. It was 30 years ago. So I was in my early 30s then, right? So a lot of lessons learned in and out, right? So now let's fast forward to when I was an intern at the Pfeiffer Center Garden in Chestnut Ridge, New York. And that's really where I learned to focus my attention. That's where I realized, that's where I was taught that to be a great farmer, what you needed to hone in on was keen observation skills. So I was looking at the natural world in a different, very different way. So one day I'm sitting out by my house. It was a Saturday, my day off, and sitting down in my garden, my personal garden in Chestnut Ridge, in my piazza, because in every garden I have a place in the shade where I could sit and admire and drink my water. And I'm sitting there, and there's this huge stand of mullein on my left. And a beautiful, beautiful butterfly lighted on it, just so gently. And I'm looking at this butterfly, and I'm in awe of this creation. And in my mind, I said, oh, how I would love to see your underside. And that butterfly turned over. So there you go. There's a second instance of a thought creating a reality. Now I'm going to give you a really good one. When I was on Block Island, 30 years ago. We'll go back to that situation. So I had a cow. I had one cow, a cow, and she's giving me lots of milk, 5 gallons, can't sell milk raw in Rhode Island, and we didn't have any pigs. And, you know, 5 gallons of milk a day, that's a lot of milk. So I started making cheese on the stove, mozzarella cheese and farmer's cheese. I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell cheese. I'm going to sell it to the public. So I called the health department, and I asked the man, Tony Potassi, you know, I told him I wanted to be licensed to sell cheese, and I was on Block Island. He was so delighted. He said, oh, how many is in your herd? I said, 1 cow. He said, oh, my. He started laughing. I was laughing too. When we were done laughing, I said, so you'll send me the paperwork? He said, you have to pasteurize. I said, I know, because I had already gone to the library, because way back then there was no internet, no Google it, man. There was no Googling. That was still the time of carbon paper, I believe, just the beginning of AOL. But anyway, so I found out that the smallest pasteurization machine was 500 gallons, and that wasn't gonna do me any good. But I knew pasteurization machines were built like double boilers, and I knew they were built in stainless steel. And before we went to Block Island, moved to Block Island, I was managing 5-star restaurants on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. So I had a lot of contacts with the restaurant supply houses down on Canal Street. So I called Norman down on Canal Street, Mata's Restaurant Supply. And I said, Norman, send me up a 5-gallon stainless steel double boiler with a lid. He said, what in the heck? I said, just send it, Norman. And he did. It arrived. I put that pot on my dining room table, and may God strike me dead as I sit here in my office recording this podcast. Every day I said to that pot, when you grow up, you're going to be a pasteurization machine. Every single day. Every time I saw the pot, that's what I said to the pot. Then all of a sudden, after about 2 weeks, 3 weeks of saying this, I said, wow, I wonder what happens when those 500-gallon machines break down. So I called Tony Potassi back, and I asked him that question. He said, oh, they call Oliver Dean in Boston. So I called Oliver Dean, and I got a woman on the phone, and I said, look, I've got this 5-gallon stainless steel double boiler with a lid that really wants to be a pasteurization machine when she grows up. And the woman said, well, we've never done anything like that. I said, I'm sure you haven't. Well, what was the windup of the story? Tony Potassi checked 38 states, and in 38 states, I was the only farmer that was licensed to sell cheese that had a herd of 1, because through my intentions, I created a 5-gallon pasteurization machine. Yep, a Rooney, and sold cheese to the public. So why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you all this because of a movement. And that movement is called Farmyard. My heartfelt intention and what I focus on, I can't tell you how many times during the course of a day, is for each and every one of you to go out and farm your yards, to turn your turf grass into food, fruits, vegetables, flowers, anything but turf grass, anything that does not have to be mowed, right? Because we got that 48.5 million acres here, right? So I was thinking about intention and farming intentionally. And then I thought about millenniums, like my children. My daughter is 36, and she has 2 children. My granddaughter is 7. My grandson is 4. And in February, they told me that they wanted to put in a garden. And that was really very thrilling for me, because up until then, they had had such a sense of overwhelm. I'm so overwhelmed. This is overwhelming. I can't do this. This is too hard. I don't know what I'm doing. And what did that create? That created all those situations. So if you're listening to me right now and saying, farm my yard, what in the heck are you talking about anyway? Do you know what I have to do during the course of a day? And then you start rattling all of that off. Or you say, gosh, I would love to do that, but I have no skills in that area. I just don't know anything about that. Or perhaps you'll say, I don't have any place to do this in. I live in an apartment. Now, all of those situations can be flipped around through running different thoughts through your noggin. Like, I am so grateful that I am no longer overwhelmed by anything in my life, and I am able to grow some of the food for myself and my family because of that. It's all about what you put in your head. If you say that it's hard, then nothing else but hard can it be. If you say that you can't, well, then how in the heck can you? So what I'm asking you to do is to plant different seeds. I'm asking you to plant heirloom seeds. Pure, clean, glorious seeds. Different seeds than you've been planting. And you see, because your mind is such a wealth. You don't get richer soil than your mind. You really don't. So what did I learn? Like I started it off that way, right? I learned something today. So I'm doing a lot of content creation. And through doing this content creation, I came upon an excerpt from a book on biodynamics written by an expert, Hugh Lovell, and it was two pages, page 13 and page 14. And I created some content around it. And what it said was this, that with biodynamics, it's totally an individual experience. It goes by the enthusiasm and the intent of the person applying these preparations. And what did I learn by that? Oh my goodness. I learned that even though I am not well learned in Steiner, and I have not as of yet dove deep into his richness of theory. But because of my enthusiasm and my passion and my intent and my intentions, when I stir biodynamic preparations and when I apply them, that is in fact, folks, a big part of why in Walker Valley, it was able to turn hard pan soil into humus that supported a full crop of heirloom tomatoes in its first 6 months from forest to farm. Yep. You're going to hear an awful lot of my grandmother's wisdom on these podcasts, because I am really, she indoctrinated me. I was her first grandchild. Her daughter was told that she couldn't have any children, and I was born on her birthday, 9 months and 3 days after my parents were married. So from that moment, my grandmother started to teach me, and teach me she did, and I carry through with her teachings today. All of it, really. Not even some of it. And now I understand how she really had a hard time grasping things that were happening when I was in my 30s, let alone me grasping things that are happening now to my children when they are in their 30s. But a very happy ending to the story. I went up and about a month ago, and I did install a beautiful yard farm at my daughter's home. And she just FaceTimed me today and showed me some things that she added. She bought a few flats at the farmer's market, and she's enjoying it. And that plot will grow. I am telling you, plant, just plant a little bit of food outside and taste it. And once you get that in your bloodstream, and once you start to plant all those correct seeds in your noggin, it's all going to germinate. I promise you that it'll germinate. I promise you that each and every one of you are just one seed away from all of it. So there you go, fine folks. It is late in the evening for me anyway. It is 8:30 and I start my day at 4. So I'm going to close this podcast with thanking all of you for listening, number one, and thanking all of our Patreon supporters for supporting this podcast. Thank you so much for supporting this movement. You are, each and every one of you, are very near and dear to my heart. And if you would like to become a supporter of the Farmer Yard Movement, come on over to Patreon and type in the search engine, Farmer Yard, and check it out and put a tip in the cup. Thanks again, folks. I will catch you on the flip side. And until then, go farm your yard.
Next on the Farmyard Podcast, Building the Healing Farm Community, with host Linda Borgi and guest Kai Cole. This podcast is community supported. We thank everyone for tuning in, and a special thank you goes out to all our Patreon supporters. If you enjoy our content, please subscribe and share. You can help support us through Farmyard, all one word, on patreon.com.